We'll get technical in this rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the spacious crawl space of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this technical rain report. Getting technical isn't what we do very often, as technical with no video can be a trick. Well, friends and neighbors and tech junkies, this week we're going to get a little technical as we take a look at some D-Star basics. For the uninitiated, D-Star is a digital mode that allows voice communications via amateur radio utilizing the Internet. At the 2012 Dayton Hamvention, John Hayes, K7VE, simplified some of the basics of D-Star that even RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, understands. Well, the first 2 minutes anyway. Incidentally, according to the Hamvention Forum Guide, John has been very active in the D-Star community and last year released, with G4KLX, a new way to use D-Star that's innovative, free, and open source, and unlike any other amateur radio network. Here's an excerpt from John's talk.
I'm here to dispel that getting on D-Star is hard and confusing. The first time you get on the D-Star, you turn the radio on, put it in DV mode, and hit PTT. You've just made a D-Star transmission. You know, we get all wrapped up in all this call sign stuff, and you ought to register, and all of this. But in reality, as soon as you press that mic, you've made a D-Star transmission. Beyond that, the next step that you want to do is you want to put your call sign in the radio. And there's several reasons to do that, but one of the cool things about it is now every time you key the mic, it IDs. So anyone listening on frequency gets your ID. You've met the requirement to ID your signal. Again, push the talk button and away you go. Repeater. How many people have been told you got to set all these repeater settings in the radio before you can do anything? Not true. When the standard configuration on a D-Star repeater, if you key up on a repeater's frequency and release, it sends its call sign out and your radio puts it in for you. If you have the wrong call sign in it, you'll hear beep beep as it changes the call sign to the one for the repeater. So now you're able to make contacts on your local repeater. The only programming you've had to do is to put in your personal call sign because there's no way for the radio to figure that out. I hear Robin's working on a telepathy chip or something to solve that. Again, push to talk. You make your first repeater contact. So this is where you have to do something a little more proactive. To do many of the things that you do on the network on D-Star, you need to be registered with the trust server. And the trust server's run by a dedicated group of admins. Most of them are in the Texas area, but they're spread around quite a bit of geography. This is where people get tripped up sometimes. So I've tried to break it out and make it as simple as possible. Find the gateway that's physically closest to you. How do you do that? You go to this website and you go to your state and you say, oh, Dayton's close to me. Here's a repeater. There's a link on there that says this is where you register for. That's where you go to register for the gateway. Visit the www.dstargateway.org. Robin's put together a great set of instructions there, walking you step by step through the registration process. The key is a couple of things. You got to know your call sign. Anyone here not know their call sign? That's licensed. Okay. Number two, a real email address. And don't try to obscure it by putting in call sign and the word app space and you know what the main email thing is that I'm on. Because the person that runs the registration gateway that you're on needs a way to get a hold of you. It's not being published out to a bunch of people and stuff like that, but they need to be able to get back to you. So put your real call sign in it as someone would type it if they were sending you an email. And finally, your name, first and last. Then you submit that. And then you wait. And sometimes that wait's real short. Sometimes it may be a day or two. But you'll get contacted, usually by email, which it's good for the administrator to have your email address. And in that will be an invitation to come back and complete your registration. So you come back. As I said, you can't fully use the functions of the network until your registration's complete. So you're going to go to row one, and you'll see 8 or 10 rows there, and check the box in front of the first line. that says, I'm going to use this call sign. It'll have your call sign there. There's a little box where you can put a letter in called a terminal ID. Most people don't need anything in there. In fact, it's better if it's only the space and that's it. And then there's a box that says PC name. Just do yourself a favor and put in your call sign in lowercase. Okay. Now, there are reasons why you might want to have more and you might get more creative with that, but we're talking about getting on the air. So once you do that and that gets submitted, then a short time later, usually within an hour or two, you could go to one of many sites and see that you are registered and you're set to go at that point. Be patient a little bit. Sometimes database updates take a bit. Only register on one gateway. I don't care if you use repeaters in 47 of the states. Once you're registered, you're registered. Okay? They all talk to each other with a database. Okay, so now that you're registered, you can do things with the gateway. So the thing that you need to do, I don't know if this newer radio does that, but traditionally you have to actually put in the repeater 2 call sign, which is the same call sign as the repeater 1 call sign, except it has a G in that little box. And what that does is it tells the repeater controller that whatever you hear, we want you to send it over to the gateway box. And the gateway box is basically just a computer sitting there saying, you got traffic for me? Oh, cool. Where am I going to send it? Oh, this is local. I don't need to do anything with it. Oh, you want to talk to blah, blah. And it sends it across the internet to wherever that happens to be. But you have to have this completed in order to do that.
You're listening to a 2012 Dayton Hamvention talk by John Hayes, K7VE, who has been very active in the D-Star community, last year releasing a new way to use D-Star that is innovative, free, and open source, and unlike any other amateur radio network. We'll conclude our excerpt from John's talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available for transmission over ham radio under a Creative Commons licensing agreement. See the rainreport.com for details.
One of the things that you'll want to do right away is learn about linking. D-Star has a linking feature that is the most popular application on D-Star. It's probably responsible for the majority of the growth of D-Star utilization in the world. When it was created, we knew very little about the inner workings of how gateways work. And for some gateways, we still know very little about the way they work. But again, Robin went to the effort to figure out what passes between the controller and the gateway and between the gateway and the internet. And he came up with a system that would allow you to link to another repeater or to a reflector. And a reflector is just a way to put a whole bunch of repeaters together. And what's the maximum we've had at one time? 150, Robin? A reflector can be pretty hardy. For those that didn't hear, Robin said, last Dayton, we had a total of 300 connections into a reflector, and that included both DVAPs, dongles, and repeaters, right? So they can handle a lot of traffic, and I think it maxed out at like 7 megabits or something like that, something in that range. So good piece of software. It really allows you to put a community together. There are some other linking systems out there, and they each have their features. I'm only going to highlight two of them here. Robin's, which is the mature one that's been around for a while, has the most users, and we'll skip over some of the ones in between, which are declining. The newest one that's getting a lot of energy is called the DCS. And DCS was written by a group out of Germany. Here's some feature comparisons. On Robin's linking system, you have the 3 modules, you have a 4th one for data, and you have the ability to do remote echo tests to see how your performance is through the entire network and back. Great diagnostic tool. DCS said, hey, we got 26 letters in the alphabet. We may as well have 26 modules. So you actually can use everything from A through Z in that 8th position. They both support DV dongle and DVAP connections, sometimes dependent on software. I mentioned the echo test on reflectors that start with REF. You use the E module on DCS. You use the Z module. And on DCS, you can use touch tones on your radio to bring up and take down the link. which I find really handy. It's much easier for me, and it uses less memory. If I want to go to 1C, depending on the gateway software support, I can just hit star 1C, and I end up on 1C. And when I'm done, I hit pound sign, and the link goes down. So it's a pretty nice feature. You can also link using the URL field. They both follow the same pattern. You put the name of the reflector in it, the module, and L in the eighth position. That brings up the link. There's a second type of comms going on called call sign addressed. They treat them differently. On D+, the philosophy, and correct me if I'm wrong, Robin, is if any repeater connected hears something, wants to make sure that everyone on the reflector knows about it. DCS takes the approach that if it's addressed to somebody, that's where it was meant to go, so let's not send it to the reflector. Different philosophies for approaching it. Robin does some agreed upon limited blocking. That's where that's at. Availability on ICOM's G2 gateway, which is the one most of you are familiar with. Adding D+ is an add-on. Adding DCS is an add-on. Real easy to get D+. There's an install script. The administrator just puts it on. It's there. DCS is new enough. You have to know somebody, but you can get there. On one of the other gateways, IRCDDB gateway, both of them are built right into the gateway. Under D+, you can link one repeater to another specific repeater, or you can connect to a reflector, as we said. DCS, I'm told that you can, but I haven't experienced it. The source for D+, Robin has some real strong quality assurance requirements for what he's doing, so he keeps his source closed. The DCS folks, right now you can't get the source, but they tell us that you will be able to at some future time. One of the features in DCS is that since they've got 26 modules, if you use the A module, it's linked to every other DCS reflector to make a mega reflector. So whenever you go on A, you're on all the A modules on all of the reflectors at the same time.
John Hayes, K7VE, a veteran in D-Star circles, excerpted from his D-Star presentation at the 2012 Dayton-Hamvention. For more information, Google D-Star. That's D-STAR. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2012 Rain. All rights reserved. Now for everyone connected with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from all of us at The Rain Report, www.therainreport.com.